Now from Times Square, here's what you need to know.
Dr. Jen, on what should be a national holiday, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. I'm so glad I could spend it with you guys. And I actually want to thank my mom, who did all the hard work, and give a shout out to my birthday buddies, Courtney and Kathy. Do you guys have any friends that share your birthdays?
No, my mom's birthday is the next day, though.
I have the same birthday as Allen Iverson, who was a hero of mine as a kid, as a basketball fan.
Well, that's close enough.
Very nice.
Well, we have a great show for your birthday, Dr. Jen, and a little surprise for you a little later. But we want to talk first about a new study out. It's looking at younger people with atrial fibrillation and their increased risk of cardiovascular complications.
Yeah, so I'm also the daughter of a cardiologist, so this is something that really got my attention. This is a very common arrhythmia, AFib, and this latest study published in the journal Circulation looked at 67,000 adults with atrial fibrillation, and specifically what they were looking at is kind of age distribution, and they found 17,000 approximately were younger than age 65. So this is not something that just affects older people. It was found to coexist with certain medical conditions like obesity, congestive heart failure, and or chronic hypertension or high blood pressure. We know that atrial fibrillation also increases the risk for heart failure, stroke, heart attack, hospitalizations. This is something that needs to be on everyone's radar because it is that common.
Yeah. What are the symptoms of this? How do you know if your heart rate is normal or
not? It's traditionally known as an irregular rhythm of the heartbeat, and I'm going to kind of take you through how you can check your own pulse, because it's something that even if you're not looking for AFib, it's important. You want to take these two fingers, put them right on your wrist along the line of your thumb. That's your radial artery. You can also take those two fingers and put them gently in the notch in your neck, right under your jawbone. And you wanna try to time your heartbeat for 60 seconds. That's the easiest way. Normal is 60 to 100 beats per minute, but in particular, you don't just wanna look for the total count that you get in 60 seconds or a minute. You wanna see if it's regular or irregular. If you're getting something that's irregular, you want to have it checked out.
All right. I think I'm feeling good right now, but a good tool to have in the toolkit. Dr. Jen, thank you so much.
Bet.
We'll be with you in a little bit. But for now, let's get some headlines. And Brad Melke, he's the host and managing editor of our award-winning ABC podcast, Start Here. And we will start with Brad. Good afternoon to you, my friend.
On a very special birthday to Dr. Jen. And we begin with escalating tensions at some of the nation's college campuses. About 150 people arrested at New York University as pro-Palestinian demonstrations spread. Officials at Columbia declared they'll move to online learning for the rest of the year. Dozens arrested at Yale, also Michigan, California, and elsewhere as graduation ceremonies are about to get underway. And as Passover begins, many Jewish students saying they don't feel safe on campus. President Joe Biden heads to Florida today, a week before a new six-week abortion ban takes effect in the state. The Biden campaign is pushing for women's reproductive freedoms, blasting former President Trump, saying he's trampled on women's rights by bringing down Roe v. Wade. Trump has boasted about ending Roe with his appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court. Some patients are scrambling to get their prescribed doses of the drugs Wegovy and Zepbound, now being used more as weight loss drugs. The FDA reporting both are in short supply, except for lower starter doses. Manufacturers are having trouble keeping up with demand. They're reportedly working to increase supply. Now let's go to Ginger Z for a look at our weather.
Over the weekend, it was up to softball-sized hail in parts of South Carolina. We had some of the video from the gusts there. The wind gusts were damaging, and for a lot of folks, more than 70 miles per hour. We're going to see more of that today, but it's going to be in a small pocket in Texas first. A little bit of thunderstorm action up in Michigan, West Michigan, down to Chicago. But that same system and now another piece of energy that's coming in, a new storm, is going to explode into a lot of severe weather. It starts Thursday and Friday, and it's right through the plains, so pretty traditional tornado alley. But then through the weekend, it just keeps chugging east.
And it's the financial equivalent of a logo 3 for Caitlin Clark, the number one overall WNBA draft pick, reportedly set to sign a record-breaking sneaker deal with Nike worth about $28 million, including her own signature shoe, said to be the largest known deal for a women's basketball superstar ever. And the crazy comebacks on the hardwood in playoff action late into the night. The double buzzer beaters, the Denver Nuggets taking down LeBron and company, and the New York Knicks with a stunning last-second victory with beauty of a buzzer beater at the Garden against Philly. I know Will Reeves was jacked up about that. Exciting night.
Yeah, it's a great time to be a Knicks fan, which is not something we've been able to say for a while.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful spring at the Garden. Brad, Thank you so much for that, and thank you, Knicks, for winning.
Brad, thank you. And I'm going to go broke if Caitlin Clark keeps getting endorsement deals. Her daughter wants all this stuff.
Of course.
You can catch Brad's award-winning work on ABC's Start Here podcast, anywhere podcasts are. And up next here on GMA3, the Senate taking up that new legislation to fund Ukraine and other U.S. allies. But it may also spell the end of the wildly popular app TikTok. We'll hear from the Illinois congressman who helped co-author it.
Plus, the young woman from Kentucky making her mark a world away on the back of a camel. We'll explain when GMA 3 comes back.
Welcome back to GMA 3. The future of TikTok is at stake as a bill makes its way to the Senate today.
What lawmakers decide could impact millions of users who turn to the app for fun, dance videos, recipes, so much more. And joining us now to make sense of it all is Illinois Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. Congressman, thank you for being with us today to help us dig through all of this. What are the key points of this bill, and could we really see TikTok, such a popular app, get banned in this country?
I don't think it will disappear. I think that it will continue operating, but under new management. Just to kind of refresh the background of this particular situation, TikTok is owned by a company called ByteDance. It's a Chinese company that's indisputably controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. The CCP has actually embedded a cell within the company to control its operations. The editor-in-chief of ByteDance is the head of that cell. And so that's a big concern. But more than that, under Chinese intelligence laws, essentially that company has to hand over the data of its users, including 170 million Americans' user data, to the CCP upon request. And the CCP has ultimate control of the algorithm, which feeds the content of the platform. So, because of these issues, we've had concerns about this app for years. This bill would basically provide an incentive for basically selling off TikTok from ByteDance and allowing it to continue under the management and control of a non-adversary such as the CCP.
And Congressman, I think a lot of people want to know if this bill is about online privacy, about keeping things private, why was it folded into a foreign aid package?
Yeah, actually, we all have concerns about privacy of our digital data, and whether it's from the CCP or any other actor, we don't want it to be weaponized against us. In this particular case, it's really about the threat of a foreign adversary having access to this data. While we need to act upon all of those other threats, even from domestic actors, there's consensus that you can't legislate against Beijing or Tehran or Moscow or any other foreign adversary. And so that's why that particular issue is now wrapped up in this set of bills dealing with foreign threats.
On the domestic front, we're just months away from Election Day. There's day-to-day issues that Americans are most concerned about: housing, the economy, crime, just to name but a few. Is a TikTok ban or some version of that really where Congress should be expending its energy right now?
I think a lot of people are concerned about this particular issue, especially in the run-up to the elections. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence indicated that TikTok is used as a platform for interfering in various elections around the world, including most recently in Taiwan, which held elections earlier this year. As you know, we are going to have elections soon, and the Director of National Intelligence said that they expect that TikTok would be used to interfere in our elections as well. So this is very timely.
TikTok has 170 million users here in the U.S. alone. A lot of them are small business owners, and a lot of them are content creators. They depend on money from TikTok. What do you say to those people that are really worried, very concerned about their livelihoods at this point?
Yeah, I think that this platform is going to continue to operate, but it's not going to have the CCP controlling it. This is not without precedent. There was an app called Grindr, a very popular LGBTQ dating app that got acquired by a Chinese company. When the U.S. government found out that the CCP had access to the sensitive data of LGBTQ members of the military and the government, it required divestment of this particular app. That happened very quickly because it was a very popular and valuable app, and it happened without disruptions to the users. That's what we would expect here as well.
Senators are looking at this bill today. What do you expect to happen?
I think they're going to pass this bill. I think that the president has already indicated he's going to sign it into law. So I think this is going to become the law of the land shortly.
The congressman from Illinois, Raja Krishnamoorthy, thank you for your time, your expertise, and helping us make sense of this thing that will apply to hundreds of millions of us in this country. Thank you. And next year on GMA3, the young American and her winning ways in a place you might not expect.
Yeah, this is a really cool story. She's a camel jockey in Dubai. How she's leading the pack. Come on back.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back now with an incredible young woman from Kentucky who recently became the first American to win an all-female camel racing competition in Dubai. She only had 2 weeks to train. Her incredible journey on the other side of the globe.
I'm the first female camel jockey based in America to win the C1 Camel Championships in Dubai. I've been involved in horses my entire life. Competing was always something I wanted to do. I made my first appearance in the World Championships at age 9 and really just fell in love with the racing industry. I went to college at the University of Louisville and I was an equine business major. I came to Dubai to cover a horse race, and that's when I was introduced to Linda and her camel riding program. She mentioned to me that she had an all-women's racing team.
She was very eager and did all the homework. That kind of commitment and drive is what made me really also believe in her.
I didn't actually know what it would be like. Camels aren't really our way of life. You see them occasionally at zoos or something like that, but it's not part of the culture. A camel jockey is basically what it sounds like when you think of a horse jockey. The camel track is straight. It's 3/4 of a mile, and there's a road next to it. It's a surreal feeling when you're galloping basically on a camel, and there's people honking their horns and yelling and cheering for you, and the finish line, you're ready to reach it.
It might seem very daunting at first, but there's always the first step that you need to take is get on a camel. I knew that she's someone I can also push a little bit physically in the short span of time that we had in order to get her on the race.
I didn't have any expectation to win. I felt like I'd already won with the relationships I made with people and camels. I was very lucky and definitely had a good teammate in my camel, Jabbar. Linda, in particular, has been a big inspiration for me because she came over here and created something that has never been done.
Having Isabella win was definitely a proud moment. We just love to get more women in sports that are not necessarily typical for them.
I never thought that I would say I rode a camel, let alone won a camel race in Dubai.
We hope we can help change perspectives. I think that's some beautiful movement to be part of. Just get out there and try things that you thought were maybe not possible, because who knows, there's a lot that can happen.
I hope to be an inspiration for other people as well, whether it's camel racing or something else that they look forward to in life.
Wow. Did you know camels were that fast?
I didn't. I was going to ask you the same question. Camels are fast, and well done by everyone there over in Dubai. When we come back, though, we're going to talk about our pets closer to home and how they can help us improve our mental health. Dr. Jen Ashton has a very special guest in studio, the star of the show today.
A very cuddly special guest. And later, she has rocketed to fame and to sales for her shadow journaling online, how the process is helping her and many others. More GMA3 in just a moment. Welcome back, everyone. We have a new study we want to talk about that shows that elderly patients, especially women, who are treated by women physicians, have a lower risk of mortality than if they're treated by male physicians.
Right. And this is published in the Annals of Internal Medicine. it's more data. This is the finding itself that suggests that female physicians have better outcomes is not new. We've been reporting on that for a couple of years. But this in particular looked at patients who were elderly and readmission rates back to the hospital within 30 days of discharge. We've seen similar findings with women surgeons. And look, I think first and foremost, this is absolutely not suggesting that male physicians have bad outcomes, right? But when you talk about the fact that outcomes can be tracked to the provider, of course you want to do a deep dive and figure out, is there anything that we can learn that can be extrapolated to help other people? You know, look, when I think back 20 years ago when I was in medical school and did a residency in a surgical subspecialty of OBGYN, it wasn't the norm that, you know, doctors were mostly women, certainly not in surgical specialties. Now, you know, it's about half. And if there is something that can be traced back to women that improves people's outcomes, of course that's a good thing.
You said it's not about men being worse or predictive of worse outcomes, but is there something that women are doing that is maybe better?
The theories are that communication might be better, nurturing might be better, but who knows? You know, we all have to learn the same things. I will tell you just personally, all of my physicians happen to be men. But the bottom line is, you know, you want to find a good physician, whether they're a man or a woman.
Well, you are the best doctor, Dr.
Thank you, Dr.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Dr. Jen is back. She has her prescription for wellness, but more importantly, the star of the show today, Mason.
Mason the Morkey. This is my my dog, Mason. Aww. He's 9. He is pretty spoiled.
I don't believe that.
I know. It's shocking. It's not his first time on television.
He looks very calm.
Yeah, he's just, you know, he's upset that he's not on every day.
Well, right, you could bring him all the time.
I would love that.
If you wanted to.
Yeah, it's about time he does some work.
Right? Your prescription for wellness, Mason, stay around,
Mason,
man. It's about pets and mental health.
I mean, he's going to be very spoiled. Okay. Well, it's about how, you guys know I talk about this all the time, but how animals in particular, our pets, can really help lower anxiety like Mason does for us. See? Yeah. Everyone's so much more
chill. It's so calm.
So, some real tips here if you're considering getting a pet and what it can do for your mental health. Number one, yes, they can lower our anxiety. They can provide support. They help us as much as we help them, definitely. People can be more productive. I don't know, I'm sensing the studio is a little more productive just because Mason is here today. They obviously help us / force us to be a little more active because we have to take them for a walk. And togetherness, look
how good Mason is. Yeah, although he wants his mama.
Mason is the great unifier and he is here to help celebrate your birthday.
Thank you, Mason.
So happy birthday to you, Jen. We asked your husband, Tom, if he would jump out of a cake. He said no, so we brought you flowers instead.
Yes.
Happy birthday to the best doctor in all the land.
Yes,
just
love
a great
you, Dr.
person
Jen.
In every way.
Love you
even
too.
Though you're a Red Sox fan. It's okay.
We won't hold that against you.
And Mason, too.
Happy birthday to Dr. Jen. Happy existence to Mason the Morkey. Welcome back. We are so excited for our next guest who gained a following on TikTok after writing a viral self-help book that became a number one bestseller on Amazon. It sold more than 1 million copies all on her own. And she's 25 years old. That is what we call living the dream, but it's not a dream, it's reality.
That's right. Her book is The Shadow Work Journal, a guide to integrate and transcend your shadows. It now has a new expanded edition out now, and here to tell us more about it is the author, Kayla Shaheen. Kayla, we are so excited for you to be here. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So Will just mentioned you sold a million copies before you even had a publisher. This thing exploded on social media. Tell us about your journey and how all this happened.
So I was going through a very difficult time in my life. And the one thing that got me through that was journaling, and journaling became my outlet. So when I heard of the term shadow work and shadow work journaling, that was the missing puzzle piece. That gave a name to this introspective work that I was already doing in my journal, asking myself deep questions and trying to get to the root of those emotions. And I wondered, why don't more people know about this? So that's when I decided to create the Shadow Work Journal, and it's had immense online praise and it's reached millions of people. It's incredible to see how many people have resonated with this work, especially the younger generations.
Mm. For the unfamiliar, what exactly, you got into it a little bit, but what exactly is shadow work? What does that mean?
So shadow work is all about exploring the unknown parts of your mind, asking yourself deep questions, getting to the root of your emotions, and finding hidden answers that are already within you. So it allows you to explore your fears, your doubts, your worries, your anxieties. But it also allows you to explore even your dreams and your aspirations and your hidden talents, because that can also be neglected. Mm. So it's all about looking at every aspect of yourself with the lens of compassion and figuring out what you can let go of or what you can foster to become a better version of you.
I was looking at the book this morning and reading some of these questions. One of the ones that really stuck out to me, in what ways have I been reprimanded in my childhood and beyond? Mm. So you're really going deep, as you mentioned, all aspects of yourself. Tell us about some of these exercises and kind of what benefits we can get from doing these and going that deep, because that can be scary for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. So one exercise that has been such a popular one amongst our journalers is this fill in the blank exercise. And it gives you a framework, it gives you a narrative to work with. So the concept is that you read through it, and anytime you see a blank, you fill it in with the first word that pops up in your mind. And this allows you to uncover some of those unconscious beliefs that you have about yourself or about your memories. There's also pages in the back to explore different shadow work journaling prompts and different themes, from fear, inner child, inner teen even. And there's interactive components as well, where you can scan a QR code and it links out to a visualization meditation. There's even a QR code to scan that'll link out to our app, our Zenful Note app, for even more shadow work resources. Oh. So it's very interactive, hands-on, and it's an experience.
It's a journal for the 21st century. Yeah. Dr. Jen, I want to bring you in and ask from your licensed medical professional perspective, what the benefits of journaling and doing exercises like this help us process emotions like anxiety or what have you?
Well, first of all, there is some data on that if you look in the mental health literature. But I think the obvious reasons that journaling can be so helpful to so many people are, there's a plethora of those reasons. Number one, it's easy, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's confidential, there's no judgment. And the part that I love about it, and by the way, both of my kids have tried to get me into journaling because they have found it so helpful for them, is you write your own story. So you can, as you evolve over things, you can look back on it and say, wow, I thought that way 6 months ago, but I don't feel that way now, and you can actually see your progress and evolution. I think this is amazing.
And I liked that you could actually do it with a therapist. I saw a whole section in there. If you wanted to do it on your own, you can do it on your own, but you can also work with someone.
Yes, therapists are using it with their clients. They reach out to me and tell me about their experiences. So it's a tool to have.
Kayla Shaheen, thank you so much for being here. This is fantastic. We all have some work to do, don't we?
Yeah.
Wow, the Shadow Work Journal is out now. And coming up next here on GMA3, we'll go behind the scenes of a very popular new historical drama that Will is excited
this show.
About.
I love this show. It's going to take us inside the power and passion of feudal Japan. You may be surprised to hear, though, where it was actually filmed. One of the stars and producers is here next. It's Shogun time, baby. More GMA3 on the other side of this break.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to GMA3. As we stand at the crossroads of an environmental crisis, the significance of sustainability has never been more pronounced.
That's right. Whether it's small daily personal changes or large-scale company initiatives, it's really important we all play a role in preserving our planet's resources. ABC News contributor and our friend Roxy Diaz has more.
That's right. Now more than ever, sustainability is crucial, not just for today, but for future generations. Our sponsor, Michelin, is paving the way for their innovative solutions. I sat down with their CEO, Alexis Garcon, to learn more about the company's efforts and their commitment to protecting our planet. Take a look.
We are a 135-year-old company, and I can say that we have been constantly innovating. If you look back at the end of the 19th century, we've invented the first detachable tires. In 1946, we've invented the first radial tire, whose architecture is still used today by the entire industry. In 1992, we've invented the first fuel-efficient tires, and then later the first airless tires. Our people are really passionate about promoting new ways of mobility while minimizing its impact on the environment. We aim at balancing in every decision we make the people, the profits, and the planet. We have set a very ambitious goal. By 2030, we want to have zero manufacturing waste going to landfills. And maybe the most significant way for us to be sustainable and reduce waste is by 2030 to produce all of our tires with 40% renewable and recycled materials, knowing that the end goal is by 2050 to be at 100%.
That's amazing. You guys recently unveiled new innovations at the Sustainability Summit. Can you tell us a little bit about that and the products?
The first message we conveyed is that we are leading this tire industry today. And I don't know whether you're familiar with the J.D. Power Award, which are based on consumers' actual driving experiences. And when it comes to the tire category, you might want to know that Michelin is by far the most awarded brand. And beyond that, another example is Red Guides. Now you can pick and choose among the 1,700 restaurants that are recognized by Michelin in North America.
From the soil to the table, those are the journeys at the root of the Michelin Guide.
We've introduced 2 years ago the Green Star, who is recognizing the chefs that are really passionate about sustainable cuisine. They choose their ingredients locally, and they cook with the vegetable of the season, so to respect the cycle of Mother Nature. So you see that when we think about sustainability, we think really big.
Electric vehicles, they are more popular than ever right now. How has that affected Michelin?
An EV is heavier, and because of the electric power, it has a much higher torque, meaning it accelerates very, very fast. So if you combine the weight and the acceleration, it puts a lot of pressure on the tire, meaning when you transition to an EV, your tires can wear up to 20% faster. And as a matter of fact, if you mount a Michelin tire on an EV today, you can gain up to 40 additional miles on your car.
I beg to differ. I think people do know that the tires is the most important thing, because once you get a flat, you already know you got nowhere else to go.
You're right.
Now, not only is the environment at the heart of what you guys do at Michelin, but it also sounds like the people are as well. Michelin has been previously named top automotive employer by Forbes. What is it like getting that recognition?
This is one of my passions. I think at Michelin, that's why I stayed in this company for the last 20 years. We put the people at the heart of everything we do. And receiving those recognition from the outside, I think, means a lot to us. But we've received also many other accolades for how we take care of our veterans, how we promote diversity in our own company. And I think all of that pays tribute to the quality of the people we have. So I think the recognition goes to the 23,000 people that are working for Michelin in North America.
Thanks so much to our sponsor, Michelin, and Alexis Garcon for their efforts to make the tire space more sustainable. Back to you.
Roxy, you know we love you. Thank you for that. Up next here on GMA3, the epic historical drama on FX.
That's right. We're talking Shogun, star Hiroyuki Sanada, starring on the screen and on the set. You're going to want to see this, so stick on with us on GMA3. Welcome back from the smash hit historical drama Shogun. It's on FX. It's an epic tale of war, passion, and power. And our next guest is at the center of it all in more ways than one. He's the star of the show and a producer, and he's here to tell us all about both of those things.
Yes, he's starred in over 50 films and series, so you recognize his face. You may know him best from blockbusters like The Last Samurai, John Wick 4, Mortal Kombat. He's been in so much stuff. Please help us welcome to the studio Hiroyuki Sanada. Welcome. We are so happy to have you here. You can tell how excited everyone is. First of all, congratulations. The show is a huge success.
Thank you.
You are a star of the show. You're also a producer of the show. So double success for you. Tell us about it. What's it like being in front of the camera and behind the camera of such a smash success?
Yeah, unbelievably great reaction and good surprise for me. And I really enjoy it every day on set. You know, go to the studio or location at the beginning of the day and checking everything, props, decoration, extras, costumes, then bring the crew and cast in and rehearse, then go back to trailer and then put on the wig, costume, and back and forth. So really enjoyed, yeah.
It's such a great show, and unlike Will, who's way into the series, I just started last week, it's incredible. 70% is actually in Japanese. Yeah. There is an English dub option, but I'm watching it in Japanese with the subtitles.
Yeah.
Why was it so important to you to really tell the story in Japanese?
Yes, because, you know, the story about Japan, then we try to make authentic as much as possible. So Japanese speak Japanese with subtitles. And all other foreign language going to English, try to make not too much complicated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we try to get the best balance.
Yeah, it's and having, you know, I'm actually one episode behind, don't tell anyone, but having watched the show, it is easy enough to follow, but it's set in, what, 17th century feudal Japan, not somewhere that I've ever been, but the scenery is incredible. The visual locations are stunning and they're a huge element of the show itself, but interestingly enough, you weren't able to shoot in Japan. You shot elsewhere, slightly closer to home. Tell us about where you shot and why.
We've shot all in Vancouver.
Okay.
And never shot any in Japanese mm-hmm. country. But it was pandemic. We right. planned to shoot in Japan a little moment, but we couldn't. But luckily, Vancouver had everything. Good for the samurai drama, especially. You know, 15 minutes drive from the studio, they had a forest, river, harbor, village, without any modernized building or wire and pole. So it was perfect. I think better than Japan to make a samurai movies now.
Wow, that's incredible. Better yeah. than Japan even. I've only seen clips, and it's such
well,
an amazing
you have homework,
show.
But it's, no.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I have a lot of homework to do, but did you have any idea it was going to be this huge of a success? I mean, it's everywhere. Everyone's talking about it.
I never expected like this much, but I'm so happy and also sad now because this is a finale day. Yeah. So, you know, I cannot do anything for this show anymore,
right.
But happy to release to the world. So both sad and happy.
I was at this event, at this Hulu on Disney Plus event, and Hiroyuki was there, and every other star of all the biggest shows that you've ever heard of, I would ask them what their favorite show was, and they all said Shogun. And
thank you.
The validation must be great. And congratulations. As an actor, as a producer.
Thank you so
as
much.
As a GMA3 guest, we're so thrilled you're here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All episodes of FX's Shogun are available now on Hulu. You all have homework.
Yes.
According to Will Reeve.
Including you.
Yes. That is what you need to know on this Tuesday. I'm Rhian Anali.
I'm Will Reeve.
And I'm Dr. Jen Ashton.
For all of us here at ABC News, make it a great day and go watch Shogun if you have the time.
Thank you.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.